so much going on today. Let me tell you, massive sinkhole opens in Brooklyn. California wildfire still going out of control. Presidential debate. The defunding of Planned Parenthood fail. But we're going to talk about that and so much more today. So stay with us. It's a new day. Yes, thank you so much for listening. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. Let me give you the call-in number. Get your pen and paper ready. It's 610-539-8255. 610-539-8255. I'm giving you that number. Why? Because I am anticipating your phone calls. I cannot believe you. I cannot believe how many people I have met since I've been doing It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL. And they all say, I like the show. I wanted to call in, but I was afraid to call in. I got to get my radio voice together. No, you don't. Just call and contribute. I'm telling you, if you're thinking it, others are thinking it. So call. Let's just kind of communicate and kind of chatter together, okay? So this is A New Day, 1180 WFYL with me, Kathy Burnett, your guest. And also joining us in the studio today is Susan Locke, a part of WFYL. Hello, Susan.
Good morning, Kathy.
I know. It is a new day. It's a good day. It is a good day. Praise the Lord. Now, guys, you heard me at the very opening. I mean, we got so much mayhem and foolishness and brand new stuff that's just happening. You can barely keep up with it. We have a massive sinkhole that opened up in Brooklyn, just bam, collapsing half a block. We have the California wildfires that are out of control. I was looking last night talking to a neighbor, Miss Anna May, if you are listening out there. She was telling me about, I mean, we have sinkholes just popping up in random places in New York City. We have these wildfires. We have tornadoes, hurricanes dropping in and out, extreme weather patterns going all over the place. She said, Kathy, I think God is trying to tell us something. And I agree, Miss Anna May. I believe God is trying to tell us something. Whether or not we're listening is a whole nother story. But I think things are happening, and I don't know if you can just kind of shove it all under, hey, these things just happen. I think something's going on around there. Susan, feel free to jump in whenever. But also on the agenda, we have this Thursday, the 2016 GOP presidential debate. It is this Thursday, August 6th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. It is the first presidential debate. Everyone did not make the cut this time at all. And it's really interesting how Fox, it's going to be, Fox is hosting it. There are going to be three commentators that will be asking questions. And it was kind of interesting how Fox decided to narrow it down to the top 10, because, you know, on the president, on the Republican side, Susan, of this presidential debate, we have 15 people so far. And of course, we interviewed one of them last week, John Roy. So he would make 16. He would make 16. Actually, I think there's even more than that. This right here, they're grouping them. Some people are tied neck and neck when you look at these surveys. But nonetheless, the way Fox decided to figure out who the top 10 would be on this first debate, televised debate, is that they combined, they took the average survey scores, rankings of these people. They took the three polls that's been out there for some time now, and they took the average of those three polls, and the top 10 ranking candidates are going to be debating this Thursday, August 6th at 9 p.m. So even now, make a mental note if you're not at home to set your DVRs. I am setting my DVR just in case I miss it, or, you know, because I have a life, I have kids, I'm one of those moms that's constantly driving back and forth. So nonetheless, set your DVR. That's the 2016 GOP presidential debate. The top 10 candidates will debate. And now, what do you think about these top 10? I want to hear what you have to say about them. Call us at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. And I think it's interesting. Let me just tell you, who is the front runner? Donald Trump. Bing! Give me a drum roll. Russell, find me a drum roll when I mention his name. I want to hear that drum roll go off. but Donald Trump, I think we have an applause button already up there, is leading the way. He has 21. He's ranking at 21%. Following Donald Trump is Jeb Bush at 13%. We have Scott Walker at 12%. We have Marco Rubio. Let me see, where's Marco Rubio? He's at 6%. We have Ben Carlson at 6%. Cruz at 6%. Huckabee at 6%. We have Rand Paul at 6%. We have Chris Christie at 3.4%. And I haven't even heard of John Kasich. Kasich.
John Kasich.
Thank you so much. John Kasich at 3.4%. Then we have Rick Perry, Jindal, Santorum, and the rest, they fall below that. And so the top 10 will be those, will be Donald Trump, Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Huckabee, Ben Carlson, Chris Christie, and John Kasich, who will be our first 10 candidates that we will be listening to debating. I think that's so interesting. Donald Trump, I mean, you know, he ran the last presidential election as well in 2012. And, you know, I mean, and he was a punchline for the most part when you're talking about the presidential candidates. And then he started this year putting his hat in for the presidential election. And once again, he was seen as, you know, a convenient punchline. And then all of a sudden, people started taking him seriously, and I just kind of sit back, because to be honest, I have no intentions of voting for Donald Trump. But you have to ask yourself, why is it that he is resonating so highly with the American public? Because look, I mean, like there's a significant spread between Donald Trump and the second contender, Jeb Bush. Donald Trump is at 21%. Jeb Bush is at 13% of the when you take the past three surveys and average their scores. That's the ranking. You have to ask yourself, why is he so popular with mainstream? And I think it's because he is, for all practical purposes, displaying a backbone. And I think that is very interesting to most Americans, myself included, who every time you turn on the news and you see one of your representatives, they're just so weak and mealy-mouthed and just so spineless. And then here you have Donald Trump riding in, darn near cussing people out, talking about and what's interesting is that he is saying what the vast majority of us are thinking, but he's saying it out loud. And then when demanded to give an apology, he's like, I'm not apologizing. What? Apologize for what? And I think that is very attractive. And I think those that I would really love to support need to listen up and figure out what it is that he is saying. Ted Cruz, the Ben Carlsons of the world, the Mike Huckabee, we need to figure out what it is that Donald Trump is saying and doing that is resonating, and begin to display more and more of that kind of backbone. Susan?
If I were one of the other candidates, though, I would be annoyed, I think, because he's the only one who's getting coverage by the mainstream media. It's really not fair to the others.
Well, hey, I mean, but that's a part of the process, mm-hmm. though, right? I mean, and why is he getting coverage? Because he's coming out and he's putting a stake in the ground. Mm-hmm. This is how I feel on immigration. Mexico is not sending us their best and their brightest. Right. And that's true. Exactly. I mean, most of us feel that way, whether it's true or not. The majority of us feel that way, right? That we're having a millions of people coming across our borders that are going to be welfare recipients, that are going to be a drain on our very limited resources.
Well,
right?
The bottom line is it's an invasion of our country.
I mean, it's illegal.
And it's like the emperor has no clothes. People aren't acknowledging that fact, that our borders are wide open. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And there are so many people who come through legally, go through the whole process, which is very expensive and difficult and time consuming. And they do that. But then
And then you have these people
the lawlessness is what is upsetting everyone. The lawlessness.
It's the lawlessness and the fact that we now have leaders in our country that are picking and choosing which laws they will submit to and which laws they don't. Jeb Bush is a prime example, right? Because he has this, developing the narrative of, he has this tender heart towards illegals or towards, Hispanics, because his wife is Hispanic, so that means his children are as well. And so he has this tender, bleeding heart for them, as if the rest of us are cold and callous. And so, of course, he's okay with some laws. No, you cannot. I mean, what kind of world, what kind of America will we live in if we have certain people that are in an elite position who can now pick and choose which laws they would surrender to and what laws they won't? Because you and I don't have that privilege.
Exactly.
Of selecting which laws we're going to adhere to and which laws we're publicly not going to adhere to.
And the bottom line is that these people who are represented are supposed to represent us. They are actually working for us.
Not themselves.
That's right. And when it comes to something like 2 days ago, they had the opportunity to defund Planned Parenthood and stop spending our money for what has been proven to be horrible beyond belief.
Beyond belief.
They
yes.
did not do it.
They did not do it.
They did not do it.
They could not muster up the courage and the backbone
exactly.
to defund something that is just heinous. And
exactly.
this is the reason why Donald Trump is resignating. Stay with us. It's a new day. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, one of the many voices of News Talk 1180 WFYLAM on your radio dial. Streaming worldwide online 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a WFYL advertiser. We provide quality programming with local and national hosts, expert political commentators who cover a wide variety of topics about local and national issues of the day. If you'd like to attract more business, more clients, or more customers, try advertising with us. Write to us, info@1180WFYL.com, or call us at the station, 610-539-1783. That's 610-539-1783, or by email at info@1180WFYL.com. Find out more about us and listen online anytime at 1180WFYL.com. King of Prussia, Philadelphia. To protect freedom of speech, God bless America.
What would an extra $250 a month mean to you? For some, it's a little financial breathing room. For others, it's a car payment, a home repair, or help with college tuition. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I've got some great news if you're looking to save money on your mortgage. All it takes is a simple phone call to Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program. Or HARP. Folks who refinance with HARP can save an average of $250 a month. That's $3,000 a year. Our home loan experts fully understand the HARP guidelines, and they'll walk you through our streamlined process. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN. Or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Today on 1180 WFYL. You are here with Kathy Barnett. I'm your host. For It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL. And we also have Susan Locke in studio with us as well. Call in 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Now, on the other side of the break, I was listing out these 10 GOP presidential candidates that will be a part of our first presidential debate on this Thursday, August 6th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So set your clock and your DVR so you will not miss it. This should be very entertaining. From what I'm hearing, Donald Trump is promising to be on his best behavior. No jabs, he said. We will see, but nonetheless. And, on the other side, I was saying, who is John Kasich? And then my very informed friend, Miss Susan Locke, started telling me who he is. So go ahead, Susan, what were you saying? Who's John?
John Kasich is from Ohio. He's been governor of Ohio since 2011. He was in Congress for a number of years, from 1983 to 2001. He's a conservative. He's written a book on fatherhood, on being a good father. He's a conservative and a good man. All of these people bring good things to the table, and that's why I hope that the debates will allow them the opportunity, all of them, the opportunity to speak and share the things that they would like to bring to the table here, because all of them have something valuable. It annoys me when the mainstream media only covers one person, when there are so many in this initial field here. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
I mean, you know, because what sells? Facts and logic does not sell.
Right.
People are disinterested in facts and logic and clear thinking and clear reasoning, right? Those are like little nuances that just get in the way of us feeling.
Everyone wants to be entertained.
Yes, right? And Donald Trump never ceases to amaze when, I mean, either his hair is doing something funky or he's saying something that's really like, wow, I can't believe he said that out loud. So you're always, no matter what, you're always guaranteed some form of entertainment with Donald Trump. And again, you cannot just bypass the fact that he is resonating. And I think the reason why he's resonating is because he has these little short two-liners that is really just kind of saying what most of us are thinking. When it comes to things like the illegal immigrants that are just flooding our borders, whether we're talking about John McCain and his war history record, or whether you're talking about the economy or President Obama or Iran, he's saying the things that the majority of Americans are thinking. And the fact that he just looks like, I mean, we're so exhausted. I know I'm exhausted of these mealy-mouthed leaders that we're having. No one seems to be willing.
Everyone would appreciate
to stand
with courage,
up with courage, right? We're looking,
mm-hmm.
We're actively looking for anybody to stand up with an ounce of courage, which is also dangerous, right?
Yes,
I mean, like that's really dangerous.
Remember that we are a representative government too. And we're supposed to be electing people who will represent us. And there was a wonderful discussion here yesterday with William J. Federer, and he was outlining through all of history how it all kind of always devolves into a king, a dictatorial leader, because people are lazy. They don't want to do the work themselves. And so they allow somebody to come to power who will be corrupt eventually.
Somebody, anybody, please just handle this over here.
Right.
Handle the government. Handle the economy. Handle my freedom so I can just get back to watching reality television or planning my next vacation.
That's right. So whereas we need good leaders, good and godly and wise leadership, we do in all areas, from local right up to the top, and world leaders too. We have to remember that ultimately God is in control, and we need to be praying for wisdom for all of these people, but we can't just put it all in the hands of one person or expect one person to be able to.
Yeah. And then, you know, okay, I've done my part, or click like on a Facebook post and say, okay, that's my contribution. Right. Because most people, you know, that's about as much activism that they're willing to take, you know, to hit the share button, if they hit the share button on a Facebook like, or not. But we have to, you know, I mean, whew, I'm just going to assume we're talking to the choir, because all of our good listeners out there at WFYL, you are doing more than just hitting that like button. But maybe you know someone that is the extent of their engagement in our culture, is to hit that like button or to hit that share button. And so therefore, it becomes incumbent upon you to kind of shine some light on that and to begin to engage each and every person in your sphere of influence. God is not expecting you to have the platform of a Donald Trump, a Ben Carlson, and Obama. He's expecting you to manage well the platform you have, whether that platform is as small as your babies right next to you that you can begin to speak truth to and begin to show them by your own example how you see truth, and then you go about aligning your life to that truth, versus what most of our children is getting a diet of is that, you know, you do as I say, not as I do, kind of thing, right? That's the overwhelming majority of the diet of most of our young people, hence the reason why they grow up and start rebelling, because they begin to recognize very clearly the hypocrisy of it all. And if you want to, and so if your platform is that, then manage that well. But most of us have a platform bigger than that, whether it's to our next door neighbors, and just begin to share truth. And now, as we turn from the presidential debates that are coming up this Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and as we turn from me once again telling you to call us at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, we're going to now turn into the defunding debacle of Planned Parenthood. But before we do that, let me just kind of set the stage, because I think these two passages of scripture are apropos for what it is we're going to now turn our attention to. And this first passage of scripture comes out of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, where God is speaking to Zechariah. He just finished giving Zechariah the image of this golden lampstand, and on the side of both on both sides of this golden lampstand are two olive trees that continuously flow oil, and this oil is representative of the Spirit of God, that it's like this continuous flow of light, of energy, of power that is being flowed into this golden lampstand. And who's the golden lampstand? We see that in Revelation chapter 1. We, the church, are considered this golden lampstand, and we are empowered by this continuous flow of oil, of strength, of power, of wisdom, of might, and of understanding by the Holy Spirit. And then Zechariah sums it up here. He says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." Not by my might, not by my intellect, not by the number of degrees and alphabets I have behind my name, but by my Spirit, all things. The church, we're the lampstand. We have this light that is shining. We have this light that is engaging the culture around us, but we are not being empowered by our own strength, but we have these two olive trees representative of the Holy Spirit that is continuously, endlessly flowing into us the might and the strength. And Susan, you have another passage?
Isaiah 30:21. "Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left."
This is the way, walk in it. As you are moving, not as you're sitting down on your on your couch, flipping through what reality shows you're going to watch tonight. Not as you're looking in the refrigerator for the next meal that you're going to eat after the one you just had 10 minutes ago. And I'm not just speaking to you guys, I'm speaking to myself as well. But as you are on your way into the marketplace, thinking and doing and just moving about, he says, "As you go, you will hear my voice. Turn to the left." Okay, now stop. Okay, now turn to the right. Okay, now you ready? Okay, now stand. After you've done everything else, you need to stand. That comes out of Ephesians chapter 6. We are called to engage, and I believe those two passages are going to set us up nicely for what we're going to go into on the other side of this break. You're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYL.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Hello and welcome back. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK at 8255. 5. And this is Kathy Barnett, by the way, just in case you didn't catch that earlier on. And in the studio with me as well is Susan Locke.
Good morning, everyone.
Yes. Okay. What have we talked about? Because here at It's a New Day, we kind of look at the headlines and just kind of give a peripheral view of what's going on in the world around us and kind of add some commentary on, okay, so what should we do with this? You know, because what we generally get from the news media is just a bombardment of one news article after another news article, just kind of shooting it at us and never giving us an opportunity to kind of digest what it is we just heard. And as a result, we have a lot of uninformed responses to the various news items that are taking place all around us. So here at It's a New Day, we kind of want to look at what the headlines are and kind of give you some commentary on, so what should we do with this? How should we think about this? And so earlier we talked about the 2016 GOP presidential debate, which is coming up this Thursday, August 6th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I keep repeating that because it's important. I think this is going to be, if nothing else, entertaining to see all 10 of these people try to vie for time. Donald Trump is said he's going to be on his best behavior. I doubt it. I think there's going to be so much foolishness going around that he just will not be able to help himself on saying something. I so cannot wait to hear Dr. Ben Carlson speak, as well as Ted Cruz. I just love both of these gentlemen. Whenever they speak, it's like I'm so a choir member because it's just amen, hallelujah, I agree. So
good people.
Yeah, I think so. So I'm really excited, as well as listening to Mike Huckabee. So really excited. Marco Rubio, I mean, you know, he's just, when I see him, I see Boehner. I just see another establishment person, although he hasn't been there that long. He came in with the whole Tea Party movement. But so that's not that old. But nonetheless, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting. We want to hear about that. Now, let's turn quickly, because we gave you those two passage scripture, those two passages of scripture right before we went into our last break, kind of just to set us up for what it is we're going to talk about now. Because I don't know about you, but looking at these headlines sometime, it can get very depressing and demotivating when you're looking at these things that are just, that seems so obvious, and yet they're not, apparently, because this past Monday we had an opportunity. I don't know how real the opportunity was, but nonetheless, we had an opportunity to defund Planned Parenthood, and it fell short. That effort fell short. We needed 60 votes in order to proceed with this defunding measure, and it was, we fell short of that 60. We got 53 of the 60 votes that we needed. So the final count was 53-47. So we needed 60 votes. We only got 53 of those votes. And you know, I mean, and it's, and you would think, we now have 5 videos that have been released of the Center for Medical Progress with their undercover footage that they got infiltrating Planned Parenthood and several other organizations like STEM Express. And we see the heinous activities that are going on, for profit activities. Exactly. of selling human beings' body parts, laughing about it, talking about they want to sell enough to get enough profit so they can buy themselves a Lamborghini, you know, sitting there haggling over prices. You see an eye, mom, no, I see $25. You know, you see a heart, no, an intact heart, no, I see $75, right? You see them talking about, you know, I think it's better to talk about these parts as a per line item issue versus as one collective price, because I think we can get more if we look at it as a per line item. One leg, one arm, one heart, one liver. You know, I get emotional just thinking about it. It's horrifying.
It reminds me of Nazi Germany. You know, this vote came up rather quickly on Monday, but probably there will be other votes. I don't think it's too late for people to keep contacting their senators, keep contacting them, especially Casey. Now, Toomey voted for defunding. Casey voted to to keep on funding them. So
John Casey?
Robert Casey, our senator here in Pennsylvania. So people need to keep on contacting him. Let him know. Let him know how you feel about it. If you feel strongly about this, let him know.
And now, is he a Republican, John Casey?
No, he's a Democrat.
A Democrat, okay. Yeah, listen, people, I just moved here from Chicago, so I don't know all of the players yet, but I am learning them. But yes, I don't, you know, because this is not a Republican versus Democrat kind of issue. This is not about, you know, providing funding for women health care and leaving women in the dark ages. This is about right and wrong. This is about human life. These are real people. And yet we're talking about them like line items in order to fund someone's effort to buy themselves a high-end vehicle. And yet, sometimes I like to torture myself, so I go and I read what the more progressive writers, commentaries are saying. And this is what, I mean, I just thought it was interesting. You know, one commentator said, now, if Republicans, because of course this is about Republican versus Democrat, had gotten their way, we would have blocked access to affordable health care to millions of women. Because of course, that's the issue. Another commentator says, this is what it comes down to. Republicans continue to appeal to conservative Christians who want to overturn Roe v. Wade, banning all abortion in the process, while Democrats promote safe and legal access for a woman's right to choose and to have control over her own body.
There are other alternatives for the health care for women. There are other alternatives besides this. So I think people need to, this is where we need to not just depend on other people to come up with the information. You need to delve, Charlie Brown, delve. You know, you have to just...
dive in and go
right,
a little deeper.
Find out for yourself.
Now,
exactly.
Let's talk about that affordable health care that women are being provided, because at Planned Parenthood, their adoption referrals is, get this, 2,197 adoption referrals. Their prenatal services, helping mothers who are probably in a difficult financial situation and generally probably would not go get prenatal care at any other facility. They provide prenatal services. The number of prenatal services they performed last year was 19,506. Okay, so we have adoption referrals of a little bit over 2,000, prenatal services a little over 19,000, abortions 327,166. So abortion as a percent of pregnancy services is 94%. I mean, the numbers don't lie. So when they talk about affordable health care for women, to control their own body and their own choices, the prenatal services they provide is a little bit over 19,000. The adoption referrals they provide to help someone who wants to make a decision to save that life is 2,000. But the number of abortions they provide, over 327,000. Where do you think the bulk of their money and resources and time is going to? 327,000 people just gone. And what the fifth video is showing us, go out there, you can Google the fifth video by Planned Parenthood. It is now showing us that some of these places, these third-party facilities like STEM Express that would purchase or procure the specimens from Planned Parenthood are actually receiving intact babies, which gives the appearance that they are aborting that they abort a baby that is still living and then they kill it. These are intact babies. That is what the fifth video is showing, that these places that are procuring or purchasing the specimens from Planned Parenthood, some of the body parts are some of the specimens they receive are not pieces of body parts like liver, eye, hand, leg, arm, but it is in fact an intact baby.
Well, you're right, Kathy. The numbers don't lie and the videos don't lie. And then they turn it around and make it sound as though the people who produced the videos, who got the videos, are heinous.
Are heinous people, yes. Right. In fact, we have in the very liberal state of California, San Francisco, they found an Obama supporter who issued a temporary restraining order blocking the Center for Medical Progress. These are the people that are releasing these videos. And they're restraining, specifically they're restraining any videos that have STEM Express, which is a California company that is one of the companies that is procuring these fetal tissues from Planned Parenthood. Also, they have put a moratorium on the video releasing any information from the National Abortion Federation. And look at this. The National Abortion Federation sued in federal court in San Francisco, alleging the Center for Medical Progress infiltrated its meetings and recorded its members. The group says release of any audio or video will put members in danger. Well, I'm thinking, what in the world did they say and do at those meetings that will put their people in danger?
Right.
What kind of heinous activities are they talking about or plotting that will put them in danger? Nonetheless, the restraining order was adhered to. See you in a minute.
Declare their best advice for life, confusion and disagreement will still remain. On the other hand, King Solomon, the wisest man, shared advice that, if heeded, would provide direction and certainty. It would change the world. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon said, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the entire duty of man. Because God will bring every action into divine review with every secret thing, and he will determine whether it was good or evil." That's right. Every deed, every action, and every thought, public or private, is being recorded by God Almighty, the great judge of all mankind. Everything, nothing hidden, nothing covered, nothing secret. How much do you fear God and keep his commands? I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network asking you, whose advice are you heeding? Some human expert or God who will judge even the experts?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Learn more about the Federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to knowpacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180WFYL.com.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. The call-in number. You people are not calling. Call in, because this is a dialogue. We put a lot of effort and energy into kind of coming up with what it is we're going to talk about. We put a lot of prayer and consideration in it because this is a dialogue. I truly want to engage. So feel free to call us at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. I would love to hear your comment and just to kind of get to know you and add you into the discussion. So go ahead and call. Now, on the line with us is Anthony Martin. Anthony, you still there?
Yes, I sure am.
Yes. You know, I was just telling Susan a few moments ago, Anthony, I have been following you for years now. I read everything you put out because it's short, to the point, it's substantive, and it gives you a really good vantage point of what's going on in the world around us. So thank you.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad to have you on board as a reader.
Yes, I am. And now Anthony is a writer for The Examiner. He falls under the conservative category, but he works for The Examiner. He writes for The Examiner. Anthony's experience is in conservative politics goes back to his younger days as a student in college. He wrote a newspaper column for several newspapers in South Carolina and worked with William F. Buckley's Young Americans for Freedom, which ultimately led to the election of Ronald Reagan as president of the United States. He has done extensive speaking for various groups on the subject of conservative politics. And how can people reach you, Anthony?
Probably the easiest way to reach me is the Liberty Sphere. It's my personal blog, and there's a place there that you can put your comments. And since this is my blog and not, you know, a public forum such as the Examiner, you'll probably get in touch with me a lot quicker if you just leave a comment at the Liberty Sphere at blogspot.com.
Yeah, and that's Spear, S-P-H-E-R-E, right?
That's correct.
Liberty Spear. What else?
Yeah, at blogspot.com.
Awesome. Okay. And you can also read his articles on www.examiner.com. And I guess they would just put in your name, Anthony Martin. So I wanted to get that out of the way so we could spend the bulk of the time talking about your latest article that I read yesterday. And that is, you entitled it, Obama Administration Loses Two Big Ones in IRS and Hillary Scandals. And whenever I hear, you know, a combination of words like Obama losing something, I'm like, okay, what? Because in the past several months, this man has been on a roll in redefining who we are as Americans, whether we're talking about the Supreme Court's decision to legalize same-sex marriage, whether we're talking about Obamacare, whether we're talking about the Iran nuclear deal. I mean, he has just been on a steamrolling path of redefining who we are. So I say that to say, when I saw the combination of words, Obama finally losing something, I was like, let me read this.
Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, and kind of talk to us a little bit. So your article is about the IRS, and now this is with the IRS and Lois Lerner. Kind of update us just very briefly on what, I mean, because some people, I don't know, there may be some people who don't remember the whole Lois Lerner issue. So remind us.
Yes, back in the run-up to the 2012 presidential campaign, the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, which of course is supposed to be neutral, is supposed to be a non-political type agency, even though you may have a political appointee that's the head of it. The organization itself has one primary goal, and that is to collect the taxes from the people and to run the government, essentially. And I mean, I think that they go far overboard with that. Everybody has a complaint to make about
the IRS,
about the Internal Revenue Service.
Yes, of course.
And I have a few words for them too, but we won't get into that today. Come to find out, the Obama administration had used the IRS as a means of suppressing the conservative vote.
Wow.
There had been and have been since, I think, 2012, maybe 2010, 2011, various and sundry attempts to conduct an investigation of the IRS in the Congress. It just, one by one, none of those investigations went anywhere. They tried. They came back and tried again, over and over again, but they were always met with some kind of roadblock put in their path by the IRS. And really, that's obstruction.
Yes.
You know, it's, you cannot do that legally. And but somehow they got away with it. As you were talking earlier about, it seems like Barack Obama has had some wonderful victories in his column when it comes to policy changes. And in this instance, they wanted to be sure, number one, that he would be reelected. He was coming up for running for his second term, and yet there was this undercurrent. There were actually informants within the IRS that went to the congressional committee that was charged with investigating all of this, who told them that there is something going on here that doesn't seem right. If it didn't fall over into the category of just full-blown illegality, it's sitting right there on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
It could go either way. We need somebody to check into that. But every time documents were requested, the IRS never complied. And, of course, this went on for, as I said, several years.
Yeah,
I
think it kind of ultimately culminated with Lois Lerner, the famous the dog ate my homework, my computer crashed last night. I can't find that. Well, I have to look at it to see if I can find something. Oh, wait, everything is destroyed. Oh, no, we have something. It's just been this running of excuses. And what is resonating to the top of my mind is the fact that it just seems so rogue. It seems so blatant, the disregard for law. And yet we have our politicians sitting back as if they're biting their nails and don't know what to do.
Well, they knew what to do. They just didn't have the moral fortitude to do it, unfortunately.
Bingo. I think you hit the nail on the head. We're coming up to a break. I'm going to keep you on if you don't mind, Anthony, and I bring you to the back half of the second half of the show. But I think that's the issue, right? Because when we're looking at what's going on all around us, we're like, why is no one stepping up and stopping this man? Why are everyone just sitting around biting their fingernails?
Especially this right here. I'll be quick about this since you're running up against a break. The Lois Lerner thing, it turns out she was the point person in the IRS to do some of this. She hates Republicans, hates conservatives, and wanted to devise a method to suppress their votes. And so she did it. She did it by...
Hey, hold that thought, Anthony. We'll see you guys on the other side of the break. It's a new day. Hello and welcome back. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. This is Kathy Barnett, your host. Also in studio with me is Susan Locke, as well as we have a guest, Heidi Goff, that we will get to a little bit later on. But on air with me right now is still Anthony Martin. You still there, right, Anthony?
I'm here.
Okay. Now, we only have a couple of minutes, but I want to get to, so we've kind of talked about what has happened with the IRS scandal, and the big ta-da is that we know for a fact that the 2012 re-election campaign of Barack Obama was assisted by oppressing or suppressing the conservative voice, right?
Yes. They went after the Tea Party. They went after conservative groups of various kinds in order to force those conservative groups to answer crazy questions that they didn't ask anybody else who applied for tax-exempt status. And so they kept this thing tied up for a long, long time.
Enough time for Obama to be reelected. Okay, so that's what happened
in
the past. So now, where are we?
And now you have a federal judge in Washington who was appointed by, of all people, Bill Clinton, who has told the IRS that he is sick and tired of stonewalling.
But how many times have we had federal judges who are sick and tired? So is he really sick and tired, or is he just going to write an angry letter?
Well, I really think he's sick and tired because the tone of this latest pronouncement from the judge is a very different tone from what we've heard before. And I think that he has seen that there's something massive and ominous going there behind the scenes with regard to the IRS. And he wants to get to the bottom of it. The Republicans in Congress have gone as far as they can go without the courts getting involved. And so Judicial Watch brought a Freedom of Information lawsuit. Once again, IRS failed to provide the material, and the judge said, you must provide this material and do it in short order. There's going to be no more waiting around. So that's where we are with the IRS.
Yes, and so I just thought that's very interesting because as I was reading your article, U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan blasted the IRS for its failure to produce key documents. He wrote an angry letter, and as I was reading that, I was thinking, okay, when are people going to get beside themselves? When are those who are in a position to do something are going to get beside themselves with this blatant thumb, you know, thumb to the nose? I don't care. We're, you know, just get over yourself. Let it go. Move on. Kind of like, you know, if you recall the Benghazi when that all broke out and we were asking questions a couple of weeks later and Hillary and some of Obama people start saying, dude, get over it. It happened like, what, a month ago. But we had these Americans who were slaughtered, and yet their response was, get over it.
Well, actually, you know, given what I've seen over the last, it's gone on 7 years, it's going to take somebody going to jail before you'll see any change.
Exactly.
They're going to have to be sentenced to a jail term. And that brings us to Hillary Clinton. I also wrote about that.
That was a nice transition, Anthony. You know what? Our producer, Russell, just asked a question right before we went on air. Why is she running for president? Doesn't she have like 50 scandals? And we were like, because she's a narcissist. All narcissists think that, you know, hey, I could be emperor one day. They don't care. They don't get it.
Well, they don't get it. And unfortunately, there are enough people around her and who are a part of that inner Clinton machine, I call it, who have been feeding her this line. You know, they did it in 2007. You know, you are the one who deserves to be president. And they're doing it again. You are the one who deserves to be president. In spite of the fact that a clear majority of the American people believe that Hillary is not trustworthy, there is a core of Democratic voters that she can count on, even if a dead body were laying right at her feet and she was holding the knife.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so sad.
Well, it really is. And interestingly enough, there was another federal judge who ordered the State Department and Hillary Clinton to turn over whatever material has not been turned over that is actually the property of the U.S. government. You see, anytime I write, let's say I had a government job in one of the big agencies, everything that I write that has to do with my job belongs to the entity that I work for when I leave that job. So as Secretary of State, it doesn't matter that she had a secret server in her home. Any material that was not turned over to the State Department that was officially a part of the State Department computer apparatus, I still have to turn in what I have in my possession in my home. That if I'm using these little devices, you know, there's umpteen million different kinds you can use to store documents,
right,
emails and things, and she is under legal legal obligation. This is the law, by the way. This is not just some rule somebody made up. She is obligated by law to turn over anything that she has pertaining directly to her time as Secretary of State. Now, here again, I thought it was interesting your choice of words when we first started talking about this whole thing with the IRS. You know, we lost these emails. No, I didn't have that one. Well, we inadvertently got rid of some official classified documents when I was cleaning my server out.
I know. My Diet Coke spilled on it, and so it's gone. It's like, what? They're coming up with all kind of excuses.
Yeah, the dog ate it. You know, I always think about the old excuse, the dog. The dog ate the kid's homework, you know.
Yes.
That's the reason why it did it. So, but now they have absolute proof that what she has said mm-hmm. in the past about those official documents was not true.
So what are they going to do with it? Because we have enough proof to put Obama himself in prison, and yet no one does anything, and everyone looks like I'm confused, or this just took me by surprise, or I don't know, I'm going to go have a meeting with someone. Everyone looks baffled. What are they going to do about the Lois Lerner, Hillary?
Pardon?
I say, with Lois Lerner or Hillary, what are they going to do about it?
Yeah. Well, number one, Hillary has been ordered by this judge to appear under oath in court.
Is she going to do it, do you think?
And answer, well, she has been ordered to do it. And so, so if she doesn't do it, you see, this is not even a part of the congressional investigation. Now, she's going to go back to this congressional committee and give more testimony, and it came with a warning from this judge. You tell everything you know or else, you know, that's it. And the other thing that you have to do, number two, is that you have to turn over to this court every single jot and tittle of what you did when you were Secretary of State. And she's got to go to court, federal court, and sit there in person, of course, and answer questions from this judge. And she's doing it under the threat of perjury.
And
that's the third
is there
part
a date,
of this.
Is there a date scheduled for that?
There is a date scheduled for that, but it's not, I would hate to say at this point what it is, because as sure as I told you, it would be the day before or the day after.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's coming right up, like August the 10th, somewhere along in there.
Well,
so
we will.
Coming right up.
Well, we will see. Now, we're getting ready to go on break, and I just want to thank you in advance for coming on today, Anthony. Promise you'll come back again?
Yes.
Because I think you and I can talk and talk and talk about all of these things.
That's right.
So now, but do you want to leave our listener with anything? You have about 30 seconds.
I just think that we have turned a corner on some of this stuff, because now that some Democrats have seen the corruption in multiple agents in the federal government, not just in one, but in several, I think that, this thing might grow some wings again, take off, and we might see some things that we never thought we'd see, such as some people being held accountable.
From your lips to God's ears, wouldn't that be a new day? A new day. Thank you, Anthony. Guys, stay with us.
You.
We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome back. It's a new day with your host, Kathy Barnett, on 1180 WFYL. Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. In studio with me is Susan Locke, and we have now come to the part of our show where we put a highlight on those in our community that are up to something, that are doing some good things. And that brings in our other guest today, Heidi Goff. She is the Director of Marketing and Communication for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Welcome, Heidi.
Good morning.
I love the accent. Say it again. Say something. Just anything.
Well, good morning, Kathy. I'm originally from England and I've been here about 16 years. Will that help?
I love the accent. Most Americans do when we hear an accent.
That's lovely.
Yes. Tell us about yourself. Again, you're the Director of Marketing and Communication for the Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. What is the Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School all about?
Actually, it is a cyber charter school, so we actually educate our children online. We actually serve children from kindergarten through 12th grade. And one of the things that makes us a little bit more unique is we individualize our instruction and we actually create our instruction, whereas many of the charter schools that are out there actually just buy curriculum and they adjust the lessons around it, whereas we look at the children's needs and adapt the curriculum to their needs at that particular time.
Now, Susan kind of slapped me on my hand because you and I started talking during the break. I'm kidding, Susan. During the break, because I started talking to you about, I just embarked on homeschooling my kids. We moved here not too long ago from another state and came into the Pennsylvania school system. The first month, I caught them trying to teach my five-year-old about homosexuality. The second month, my son came home and said, "Mom, what's a stepmom?" And I was like, "Oh, it's someone who sits on the steps." And he was like, "No."
Oh, dear.
He was like, "No, it's not, Mom." But I'm thinking, why is my child coming home asking me, "What's a stepmom?" What was his conversation about? So I emailed his teacher and I said, "Just so you know, my son is not to partake in any discussions about different family configurations. I respectfully ask you to stick to reading, writing, arithmetic, throw in some social studies and science, and then send my baby back home to me." He called me about 2 days later to inform me that I'm divorced, Miss Barnett, and so the subject will come up. And his agenda, he told me, was to let the kids know there's life after divorce. And so with those two instances, I decided to take my kid out of both of my kids out of the public school system. And then you walk in, you're talking about this online cyber, this cyber schooling. And so how does that work for, I did not think anyone homeschooled prior to me deciding to homeschool. And now I'm surrounded by homeschool moms. And so I know this would be something of interest to so many people. So talk to us about that. I mean, with homeschooling and what you guys are doing.
Absolutely. It follows a homeschool model. So our children are at home. So you can instill those family values and still have that commitment to your family, your faith. Moving forward, whatever you would like to incorporate into that curriculum, you can. So what we actually do is provide you with the curriculum. We provide you with the computer and the materials that you may need, even down to art supplies. And we actually reimburse you for some internet reimbursement as well. And instead of being a traditional homeschool mom where you're making the lessons up and hoping that you're getting the right standards across, because it's tough. It's tough being a homeschool mom in Pennsylvania. There's so many regulations on you right now too. And we actually do all that hard work for you.
Wow.
So there's no portfolios, there's no gathering of information, there's no submitting things to the state. We actually do all of that for you.
I mean, that is, you know, I mean, and you just hit on something that's so apropos, because although I am a professor of economics and corporate finance, when I embarked upon teaching my own children, it was like the fear of God was resting on me.
Absolutely.
I was thinking to myself, I'm going to mess them up. And although I come to the table with so much credentials, I can't even imagine someone who, you know, who don't have those kind of credentials. But I was telling my husband, when I'm in a university setting, I got true. truth. I do my best in preparing and in teaching and presenting. But if they don't get it, well, oh, well, you got to, you know, I just kind of move on to the next group of students. But for your children, you know, it was like the fear of God was resting on me. So exactly. That's really interesting.
And that's one of the things that we like to do is we partner with our parents. So we look at what you want for your children and what your children's strengths and weaknesses are. So if you know that your son or your daughter is accelerating, say, in math, but needs some additional support in English, maybe they're in second grade, we can actually completely adjust that to their grade level. We've actually had second graders doing fourth or fifth grade math, but maybe doing first grade English because we can adapt it to the child's needs.
I am loving this. And I'm also loving the fact because when I look at those curriculum, the curriculum that I would purchase for my children as a homeschool mom is running into the $500 plus to get all of the curriculum that I would need.
And that doesn't include any additional materials or field trips or any life experiences that you have to put a dollar amount on, unfortunately.
Yeah. And now talk to us a little bit about how do you individualize the lessons? Because I like that aspect of it as well.
Yeah, definitely. We actually bring our families in for an orientation. And during that orientation, we're actually chatting with the children about what are their likes, what are the things that get them excited about learning. And then we actually meet with our parents and say, again, what are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? We actually do almost like an intake test, but it's not something that qualifies you to get into the school or anything like that. But it's really just trying to see where the children are. So if
an assessment.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, as it would be. And it's not like one of the state mandated tests or anything like that. It's just an internal one for us. And we create what we call a PLP, which is a personal learning path. And what that is you might have a second grader that has one path and a different second grader that has a completely different path, depending on what their needs are at that time. We try to group our children with very similar abilities so that they can actually learn from each other. And what we can do from there is if we see our children accelerating, we can actually enhance the curriculum. We can add additional things into there. We can get our children out into the community. I'm just thinking of science as an example. Mm-hmm. Or we can slow it down. We can slow it down to the path.
I love this. I love this. Now, how long have you guys been around?
Actually, since 2004. Cyber education's been around for a really, really long time. A lot of people still think it's new, but actually online education has been back since the 1800s, not necessarily with K-12, but distance learning and online learning has been around since the 1800s.
Yeah.
Well, distance learning, I guess, more so than the internet learning.
Right. And now your organization goes from services K-12.
That's correct.
That's amazing.
And we can actually take students up until they're 21 years old. So we do actually do some credit recovery as well for our high school students. And we also do dual enrollment. So for our children that are really accelerating in like 9th and 10th grade, they can do dual enrollment. And we've had children leave us with 20 credits towards an associate's degree before they've even graduated.
That's amazing. Now, how do people get in touch with you guys?
Well, they can go onto our website, which is www.palcs.org, or they can give us a call, and our local number is 610-701-3333.
Okay, that's palcs.org. P is in Pennsylvania, ALCS.org, or you can call us 610-701-3333. Again, I know just walking in this experience myself of homeschooling, it's
all a nightmare.
It's all consuming. It's very intimidating. And even for those parents, maybe you have slightly older children, maybe you're working full time, because this is something I'm assuming they can do at any hour of the day.
Absolutely. And that's the wonderful thing about this type of programming is it is anytime, any place, anywhere. So if we have traveling families, as long as you're a resident of Pennsylvania, you can do our school. We actually have professional students. So we have traveling gymnasts. We have a motocross. We actually have a child that dances in the Philadelphia Ballet, and we can adjust her schedule around our schedule. So if she's doing school at 8 o'clock at night, that's great, or it can be 5 o'clock in the morning.
You know, I mean, and I love this for so many reasons, because you have so many excuses or reasons why I hear so many reasons from parents on why they cannot pull their kids out of the public school system for a job, for this, for that, or the other. And yet they recognize that our culture is going to hell in a handbasket, and yes, and the influences that their kids are getting, and yet this seems like such a doable option.
It is.
Yeah, I am talking to Heidi Goff, Director of Marketing and Communications for the Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. She's going to stay with us. You stay with us as well, and we'll see you on the other side. It's a new day.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. There's no easier way to share your faith than by giving someone a free gift, the Word of God in a compact, pocket-sized gospel.
I'm going back to nursing school in the fall, and I'm almost out of gospels. I've gotten out of the habit of giving them out. Time to get back to sowing God's seed. Thanks so much for what you do.
This is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. League members have found that any place is a good place to share a pocket gospel with someone they meet. Join us, and you'll always be ready. Is there anything more important?
I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I'll be giving the Gospels to dock workers who load and unload my truck, as well as to other drivers and truck stop employees, too.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the Gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I'm no good at math. I hate math.
I've always considered myself a good mother, but when it came to my son Billy's math, I was at a loss. It wasn't that he didn't try, but he kept falling further behind and losing confidence. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. You can order any subject from arithmetic to fractions, percents, algebra, even calculus. Concepts are simplified in an entertaining way, so students enjoy learning at their own pace, in the convenience of home. It's as easy as watching TV. Best of all, it's affordable for everyone. Listen, end the frustration. Call Math Made Easy. Call now for a 30-day risk-free trial. 866-598-MATH. Most students forget at least 50% of the year's schoolwork over the summer. And with Math Made Easy, your child will be prepared to excel in math this coming fall. Call now, 866-598-6284, or visit us at mathmadeeasy.com.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sandy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
It is a gift from Hello, guys. It's a new day with Kathy Barnett on 1180 WFYL. You can call us here at 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. We're coming up to the end. We're on the back half of our time together today, and I so enjoy being able to come in. And I love this portion of our show where we get to spotlight an organization in our community. And today we have with us Heidi Goff. She is the Director of Marketing and Communication for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. And it is fascinating, the things that that I'm learning today, because it is so filling a need in our community, one that I really did not know existed prior to deciding to start homeschooling my own kid. I don't know why I thought this, but when I thought of homeschoolers, the image in my mind was Little House on the Prairie, Laura Ingraham, the long dresses, poor fashion. Choices. And now I'm a homeschool mom, and I see these are some of the coolest people I have ever met. I mean, just wonderful, wonderful people. And Susan, you were telling us during the break that, the things that we're contending with now in the public school system and in the demise of our education system and the demise of our culture is not really new. Your youngest is now a grown man, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Tell us your experience of when you decided to pull them out.
Well, just briefly, our children are spread out. They're older, much older than yours. And so the first three went through the public school system, and I didn't know enough with the third one to have done anything differently. You know, I kind of wish now that I had. But when it got to the fourth one, by the time he was in third grade, we'd gone through some of those things in kindergarten and first grade where they were doing the indoctrination and everything. But by third grade, we realized that's it. Hands off. He's ours, not yours. Even before that, in years before that, we would go in and say we wonder if our child could have that particular teacher for that particular class next year. And they'd say, no, we know more about your child than you
do.
We know more about educating your child than you do, which just made the hair stand up on the back of my neck.
I mean, like, really, you know? They do. Even when I was talking to my son when he came home, asked me what a stepmom is. And I was like, oh, it's a mother who sits on the steps. And I'm talking to his third grade teacher. I mean, I'm sure when he started the conversation with me, he thought it was going to be like a 10-minute conversation. But like 45 minutes later, I'm still talking to him on just how ridiculous his, you know, his line of thinking is. But one of the things he said to me was, this is my classroom, to tell me he would
but
do whatever he wants
children. To do. They are our children.
And that's what I said to him.
That people have forgotten that it is the parents' responsibility to train up their child. And so an organization like the Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is such a blessing and such a help for parents, especially if you suddenly find yourself at that point where they cannot be in that system anymore. I'm pulling them out, but what do I do? It's terrifying. And actually the materials that are available are marvelous, absolutely marvelous. And especially if you have a really talented child, like you were mentioning, the girl in the Pennsylvania Ballet, you know, it gives you such options and freedom, flexibility for your family to do things. But I want to hear more from Heidi about the other things that you offer, because they're so wonderful.
Absolutely. And just kind of leading off from that, it's one of the things that made me get into charter school was that as an educator, I wasn't actually teaching anymore. And that's not what I went to school for. Mm-hmm. So that's when I actually started to explore some of the charter school options and kind of looking, what was it? What's going on? And especially the cyber charter schools, because I know that was a new entity to a lot of people. But the cyber charter schools are about partnerships with our parents. And I really want to make sure I emphasize that we actually sit down with our parents and say, this is what's expected of you, not just your child, but what's expected of you too. It is a partnership. We need to be communicating. We need to be, you know, making sure that we're passing information backwards and forwards. If your son or your daughter's having a bad day, it's really important for us to know that, because it may affect their learning on that particular day. It's not just a random note that comes home in the backpack that says he had a bad day today. Well, what happened? And that's one of the great things about our organization is communication. We are a family and we are a community. And that really is one of the big things that we push right from the beginning of, we're working together. This is a partnership. We get you to agree to a whole bunch of things about, you know, communicating with your teacher on a regular basis, not just once a month. But it's like, we want to know. We want to know what's going on.
It's wonderful in both aspects, for you and also for the parent, to know that the teacher wants to know. The teacher's
absolutely
not saying he's
get out
of
here.
No.
You know,
right, exactly.
I mean, it's so interesting, because when we moved here, I thought I was a very engaged parent in my children's public school learning. I made it a point to go to my son's class to volunteer maybe about two or three times a month. I would go to have lunch with him and, you know, just whatever I could do. I wanted to be that kind of parent that was always in the room. So then I come here to Pennsylvania and I'm like, okay, so when can I volunteer? And they tell me, well, no, we really don't have parents coming into the classroom volunteering. Okay, well, what about, can I have lunch with my son? So I come in, no, we don't really want parents coming to have lunch. So essentially it was like, you give birth, you drop them off at our front door, and then you just go away.
And that is chilling. That is chilling.
It is chilling, because yes, you don't know what these people are teaching or talking to your child. I mean, we don't even we just got a dog, God help us. And when you're going, it's a lab of all things. And when you're even when you're going to drop them off at, overnight care, they allow me to have access to my dog. They allow us to go into the back and to survey his surroundings and to see where he will go play and do all of those things. But in our public school system, they really don't want you. A parent and I, we were just standing. We had dropped our kids off and we were just standing outside the door just chatting. And they came out and said, could you move away from the front?
I've heard that several times.
They don't even want the appearance of a parent around. And so what you're talking about, it kind of helps. Again, we were saying, you know, there are so many reasons, real reasons, why parents cannot homeschool their children for, you know, a plethora of real viable reasons. And yet at the same time, we recognize our culture is, you know, barely hanging in there. It's dangling off a cliff. The things that they're teaching, and I know a lot of people that they recognize that and yet feel helpless. what you guys are offering at Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School seems so viable, so doable. You can do it at any time from what you were telling me.
Yes.
You guys actually provide the curriculum, and I am at home right now this month trying to create curriculum.
Yes.
And it's mammoth. You provide the materials. You even reimburse. And I'm thinking to myself, the cost for this must be mammoth on the parent. So what is the cost to become affiliated with you guys?
There is no cost. We're actually a state-funded public school. So we're actually chartered because of the way that we present the education, but we are still a public school. So we still receive the local tax dollars. And what you're actually seeing is your tax dollars actually working, and you're actually incorporated into that. Because
yes.
You can see on a daily basis what your child is learning, what they need, and who you need to talk to at that particular point. But it's a public school, so it's completely tuition-free.
And you said it's 70 cents on the dollar for each child that is provided for each child.
We get about 70 cents on the dollar for each child that comes in, and that can vary a little bit from district to district across Pennsylvania. So what we're actually doing as well is educating the children for a lot less, and we're expected to do a lot more with that funding too. So we always get the backlash of, you're not really educating these kids, you're putting in front of a computer, and that's not the case. I mean, we have live lessons, we have scheduled lessons for our children
to
attend.
And what do you mean by live lessons?
Just like you and I are talking right now, just like a Skype or a...
there's a real teacher.
There's a real teacher on a video screen. We can actually have a completely interactive computer screen where we can load up math lessons. The children can actually move their mouse around. They can be manipulative with that too. We've actually started incorporating some of the iPad technology as well. So all some of the apps where they can actually do the 3D books. It's wild. And one of the things amazes me right now, and this is new to us this year, is in kindergarten we're teaching computer coding to kindergarten. Gartners.
Wow.
You should see these 4 and 5 year olds get on these iPads and computers, and they can do it. It's computer coding. It's insane.
And I think one of the most beautiful experiences I have had with taking my kindergartner out, you know, she's a baby girl. She's the baby. And what we recognize is that we were not pushing baby girl as much as we pushed our first one,
for
example.
Of course.
And so the things that the first child was doing, we did not really expect baby girl to be able to do it. And now that But then when we brought her home and started homeschooling her, and now I'm forced to kind of teach them in a pod situation, I saw baby girl was absorbing this information, just ferociously absorbing this information, and that she was actually so what I'm saying is that I actually started learning my children, and we were talking about that a little bit. I started taking ownership, real ownership of their education, and I saw that baby girl can actually absorb, and now you guys are teaching STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math courses to these babies, and they're absorbing it.
I
love this. I mean, it's such a blessing having you guys in. Now, you guys are registering right now, right?
Yes, we are. Well, you can actually enroll all year round, and you can go onto the website again, which is www.palcs.org. You can actually fill out an online application there. And really, what the application is to say, I'm interested in joining your school, I want to learn more about it. There's a couple of different programs that you can apply for on that program as well. So jump online and fill out the application.
Or they can also get in touch with you guys by calling 610-701-3333.
That's correct.
610-701-3333.
You got it.
One more time.
610-701-3333. And they can call and ask for me. It's Heidi, and I'm part of the marketing and communications department.
I love this.
It's such a service to the community.
It is such a service. Guys, Heidi, I think, is going to stay with us a little bit longer for the last segment of our show today. But you are listening to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL. Kathy Barnett, Susan Locke in studio with me, along with Heidi Goff. Talk to you in a minute.
Experts, political pundits, and philosophers declare their best advice for life, confusion and disagreement will still remain. On the other hand, King Solomon, the wisest man, shared advice that, if heeded, would provide direction and certainty. It would change the world. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon said, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the entire duty of man, because God will bring every action into divine review with every secret thing, and he will determine whether whether it was good or evil. That's right. Every deed, every action, and every thought, public or private, is being recorded by God Almighty, the great judge of all mankind. Everything. Nothing hidden. Nothing covered. Nothing secret. How much do you fear God and keep His commands? I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network asking you, whose advice are you heeding? Some human expert or God who will judge even the experts?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your recorder of deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the recorder of deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact the recorder of deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Hello and welcome back. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. I am your host, Kathy Barnett, and in studio with me is Susan Locke, as well as our new best friend, Heidi Goff. She is the Director of Marketing and Communication for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. You guys really need to reach out to them. This is so fascinating. Even just during the breaks of just listening to some of Heidi's stories, I think you said you have 3,500 students for
2,500.
I'm sorry, 2,500 students for 2,500 different reasons.
Exactly. And that has varied from bullying, family morals, looking for something different, needs aren't being met, exceptionally gifted children, or our special education children. We literally have 2,500 kids with 2,500 different reasons of why they come into us.
I would like to commend Dr. Jim Hanick, who founded this school in 2004. He's been on our station before. We really appreciate that. But this work that he began, that has grown so beautifully, is just wonderful. It's just
he
wonderful.
Had a vision. He wanted to provide children with a school that he could have benefited from as a child, and he wanted something different. He was not the average learner. He needed something different himself, and that's where he saw the school going. And I just know, just from talking to him, obviously on a daily basis, he sees it. He sees that we're moving forward. And I know Dr. Hannett would actually love to have a global school at some point, because why shouldn't there be this type of education all over the world?
Well, especially with the technology that's available today. It's just wonderful technology. And as you said, everyone learns differently. I know I learned when working with our son that at that point in his life, he learned by hearing while he was doing something with his hand. So I read things out loud to him. I think we read 30 or 33 books that first year in addition to the textbooks, and I would think, I would test him, and he had it all. He heard it all. He remembered it all. And there isn't time, or it isn't possible for a public school teacher dealing with 20, 25, 30 children to deal with each one individually
that
way.
And that's one of the things that, like, like I try to tell our families coming in, this is a partnership. This is about you and I, and it's as close to a one-on-one education as you can get, because we really are looking at the child. We're not looking at the classroom. It's really important to us that each child is recognized for their own strengths, for their own weaknesses, for their own learning styles, but also of what support the parents need too. And I think we've come away from that a little bit with some of our traditional public schools, whereas this now is actually bringing the family back together, and mm-hmm. we pride ourselves on saying we're giving you back your family time.
It does bring the family back together, and I think there might be parents out there listening right now thinking, I don't know what to do. School starts in 3 weeks. I don't know what to do. So I hope if you're hearing this or you know someone who could benefit from this information, you'll contact Heidi at www.palcs.org. That's Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.org, 610-701-3333.
That's correct. And again, if they wanted to give me a call directly, they're more than welcome to do that. If they'd like to come in and actually just see the program and actually meet some of our teachers are coming back in the next couple of weeks with preparation. But we encourage families to even just to come in and actually take a walk around the building and just kind of see what we're doing. Even though it's a cyber school, we do have staff on site and our teachers are right there collaborating together.
Do any of the students come into the building to do their work, or is it all done at home or remotely?
Actually, we have about 95% of our students that are cyber, but we actually have some on-site programs as well. One is our University Scholars Program, which is for our gifted children, and then we also have our Center for Performing and Fine Arts, and that's an actual on-site performing arts studio that's actually right here in Westchester.
And are there opportunities for the children to be involved in activities such as sports and music and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. I mean, we have a pretty rigorous music part of our curriculum, but any extracurricular activities as far as sports or drama or anything that's offered by the district, the children are still allowed to actually access, yes, just like you would be with a traditional mm-hmm. homeschool parent. But we do so much enrichment ourselves. We have students that travel to foreign countries. We've had children go to China, do exchange programs, as well as all the regular field trips and things like that too. So it's not the children are at home all day in front of the computer, not at all. Every opportunity that's out there is a learning opportunity, and we encourage our children to step away from the computer.
This is so exciting, and I can tell you love what you're doing.
Oh, I do. I do. I could talk all day about this. I get so passionate about providing children with
very
just a
exciting
quality education, mm-hmm. and I see it working. I see it working on a daily basis, and for me, on the front end, I'm seeing families coming in nervous and not sure and confused, and can I do this and can I not do this? And, you know, it can be very overwhelming for some families, but then to see them walk that graduation stage and be like, yeah, you did it. And it's so rewarding for me. It really is.
That's marvelous.
I love this. Thank you so very much. And again, you can reach out to Heidi Goff at Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School by going to their website at www.palcs.org or giving them a call at 610-701-3333. Now, real briefly here, we want to transition really quick because you guys hear Heidi's glorious accent. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about. There's
I wish
no accent.
I had an accent. But you know what? It's because she just recently, well, she's from England.
Yes, I am.
And she's been living here in America for 16 years, I think you said.
That's correct.
You just became a citizen.
That's right.
Yay!
I actually passed my test in May, and I'm actually waiting for my ceremony that's going to take place the end of August. So that's my formal oath ceremony.
How does that feel?
It's extremely rewarding as well as a huge relief because it's a very long process to go through, but it's extremely rewarding to know that I've made a life here for myself and now I continue to be here and I can be an American citizen. So
that's
pretty exciting.
One of the awesome things about America, other places as well, but you know, I'm American and we're in America, so I'm just talking about America. It is so awesome that people from around the world, we admit roughly 1 million people become legal citizens every year. 1 million
that's
people.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people who become an American citizen. And there's a reason why so many people want to be a part of America, whatever their particular reason may be, but there are a number of reasons. And you have been here for 16 years and have gone through the rigorous work of becoming an American citizen. citizen, and we were when you mentioned that, we were talking in contrast to we have over 12 million people who are illegal immigrants in America, and I'm looking at the Hispanic Pew or the Pew Hispanic the Pew Hispanic Center, who did a report in 2012 stating that 52% of illegal immigrants were from Mexico, 26% were from other Latin countries, primarily from Central America, 12% from Asia, 5% from Europe and Canada, and 3% from Africa and the rest of the world. But over, if you're talking about the Hispanic population, we're talking about over 75% of the people, of the 12 million, are Hispanic descent. And how does that, I mean, like, is there a feeling of what you had to go through to become an illegal citizen versus someone who get all of the resources for free and they're illegal?
It was an odd feeling. It's extremely expensive to actually go through all the visa paperwork. I went through numerous visas before I decided to move forward with my actual citizenship test. It's heartbreaking to me, to be honest with you, because I had to study tests. I had to fill out numerous pieces of paperwork. I had to write several checks to be able to go through to make sure that all my ducks were in a row, because I wanted to make sure that I was doing everything as legal as I should be. So to hear that and then to know that I jumped through many, many hoops to get to where I am so that I can proudly say, yes, I became an American citizen.
And you're a contributing factor in our culture. You're paying taxes.
I have done giving. For 16 years. I have.
You're not draining or requiring additional resources, but
and that's some
giving.
Of the things that they ask you actually on the testing too is, you know, you must be working. You must have been paying your taxes. Hmm. You can't be behind on your taxes. So it was really difficult for me to actually hear that number from you this morning when I know the hoops that I had to jump through to do it correctly.
It really isn't fair.
Well, guys, we just wanted to leave you with that for food for thought. Until next time, it's a new day. Kathy Barnett on 1180 WFYL.
Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule, Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM. WFYL, working for your liberty.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.